When the executive branch thinks the state is his own, thinks he can overpass the Congress or even the judicial power, that's one of the huge problems we are facing now with Argentina, with Milei.
Welcome to None of the Above, a podcast of the Institute for Global Affairs at the Eurasia Group. My name is Mark Hanna. This year, elections around the world have been making headlines, from India to Mexico. But Argentina's election in October of 2023 has been a continued source of interest and controversy. Back in February, I flew down to Buenos Aires to catch up with a couple in-country experts and really understand what was happening in Argentina politically.
Javier Milei is an exceptional case for Argentinian history.
That's Jorge Liotti, the chief editor of the political section at La Nación newspaper. It's Argentina's oldest independent newspaper. But what makes Milei, who blends elements of libertarianism, populism, and ultra-capitalist economic philosophy, such an exceptional case?
I think that we need to take into account that Argentina has been suffering from economic crisis or stagnation and high inflation, at least in the last 12 years. And I think that the majority of the people was fed up of that. And the way of reacting against traditional political parties, and particularly those coalitions that ruled in the last 20 years, one around Peronism and the other around center-right political force led by the former president Mauricio Macri. The majority of the people tried to put aside all of those coalitions and it was looking for something different and somebody different, very disruptive, very basic in the way of reacting, because it was, well, the past is bad, we have failed in many senses, and this country is not in a good shape, we need a radical change. And I think that Milei represents that radical change and disruptive way of doing things.
Though President Javier Milei's first 6 months in office were relatively uneventful, and by some measures the economy's improved significantly, he's kicking his policies into high gear. His first major legislative package has finally been approved by the Argentine Senate, and it's moving into the House of Deputies to be ratified. The omnibus bill promises to further slash state spending and pave the way for greater investments and privatization of industry. Disruptive political candidates are far from new. Donald Trump in the United States, Bolsonaro in Brazil. But every rise to power is unique to its own context. And Argentina's economy has been catastrophic ever since its economic collapse in 2001.
In last December of 2023, we suffered from a monthly inflation of 25%. So it's extremely high. And besides that, while our economy is now developing and it's not moving forward, we are not very well connected with the rest of the world, and we mainly sell agricultural products, and we haven't evolved in particular in this century. I am very critical about Argentine performance in this first quarter of the 21st century, because we have suffered many crises and so on. So he has been very successful in giving his opinion in a very disruptive ways, in a very eccentric way, with, I don't know, with his hair in disorder, and I don't know, shouting sometimes, and strong interactions with journalists and those kind of things.
Wielding a chainsaw to symbolize his war on government spending, threatening vital public services.
Afuera!
And printing a picture of a U.S. dollar bill with his face on it. Part of a widely criticized campaign to use the U.S. dollar as Argentina's currency.
Javier Milei is mainly an economist, a very eccentric economist, but particularly an economist. It's the topics that he loved and the only topic that he really enjoyed, and he's worried about it. And he became famous in participating in many, many TV shows, giving his own opinions about different things in economy, which is a very huge topic in Argentina because of what had been talking about. And if you deeply analyze his voters And it's very interesting because he gathers in the primaries and in the first round 30%. So his voters were 30%. Then in the runoff, he gathered 56% because there were other, so people who in the first rounds voted for other candidates, Patricia Bullrich and Juan Schiaretti and others. And so when he repeat the idea that 56% of the voters endorse my project, it's not exactly true. So 30% was in favor of this radical change, represented in symbolically in the chain show, which was a symbol of his campaign, no? Cutting spending fiscal deficits and reducing the power of the state and those kind of things, generalist ideas, economically speaking. But I think that some people endorse that idea, but with not a clear notion about his program. When he became a candidate, it was slightly different. When he was candidate, the main economic message was a free market, those kind of things, plus dollarization. And that was very successful because, as you probably know, in the 90s, Argentina has its very particularly monetary system, which pegged our currencies to dollar 1-to-1, and was very successful at the beginning because we defeated inflation, which at that time was also very high, and suddenly we have zero of inflation. And when he started to say that his idea was dollarization again, people tend to think, what, fantastic, because I will earn the same salaries I earn now, but in dollars. And well, he has to explain that it was not in a project for the short terms, but maybe in the future and those kind of things. The main idea was dollarization, reduce the state, remove all regulations, reducing taxes, but he hasn't done yet. He has raised taxes at the beginning because of the crisis. So it's different what he said last year as a candidate and what he's doing now. He became a politician not more than 3 years ago in 2020, and his first intervention as candidate was in 2021 as candidate in the Buenos Aires City for a seat in the representative house. In 2 years, he built his political career. So 2021, he gathered 17% in Buenos Aires City. And 2 years later, he gathered 30% at the national level.
So that's Javier Milei in a nutshell. Libertarian, anti-tax, a bit offbeat, but there's more to him than that. We're going to turn now to Augusto Reyna. He's the director of Pulsar, a research center at the University of Buenos Aires that studies public opinion in Argentina. So he's got his finger on the pulse in so many ways, but when I asked him if he was surprised by Milei's victory, he ended up surprising me.
Yes, I was surprised by Milei's victory in November. But I think it's good to take perspective and have an account. Milei obtained a 30% on August, then a 30% in October, and then a 55% in November. Argentina has a peculiar, pretty unique electoral system. Round by round, we are discarding candidates, so we are forcing the citizens to choose in 1, 2, 3, 4 options. So it's not like necessity, the victory of Milei. There is some contingency. What's the contingency? Well, Cambiemos, a main political party, a classic political party, you may say, decided to hug Milei's offer and pretty much gave him the presidency. So the surprise is Argentina could have a president, an outsider president. 10 years ago, we would say like that's in Peru, maybe in Ecuador, perhaps in Colombia, not in Argentina. But in reality, Argentina has been like 25 years ago has a huge explosion on the political parties. The peronism and radicalism exploded. So yeah, it's a surprise.
So Augusto, Do you think the people that voted for Milei fully understand the economic policies he's promoting? Do they understand the libertarian outlook on the world?
I think Milei's electorate shares some of his ideas, not all of them. And a lot of them are very difficult to understand and to communicate in public. What do they agree? I think they agree with reducing public expenditure. They agree with be more tough with politicians. They agree with Argentina needs a huge change, a radical change. And then you have to understand Argentina has had contested view about the role of the private sector and the state in regulation, in the regulation of economic life. In the 90s, we have a state with no public corporations. We don't have a public service. In the last year, Argentina has had contested view about the role of the state and the public sector, on the public sector and in the private sector regulating the economic life. In the last years, we saw within the pandemics, we saw a huge uprise of the a more libertarian vision, liberal vision, I would say, about that the state doesn't belong to the business area, you know, that the state shouldn't have like so many public services, and the state should reduce some expenditures. So there was a growing criticism about the role of the state regulating economic life and social life. That emerges with the pandemics, of course.
Not of course, that's really a good point. Mm-hmm. So what is it about the pandemic? Was it the incompetence of the state became more deadly?
That could be one. The first one is a long lockdown. Mm-hmm. We have like almost a year lockdowns. The public education was shut. So it was growing perception in the margins in the first time, but then growing to the center, that the state has too much influence in public life, in this kind of electorate. So when Milei represented that with pretty much success, you know, we need freedom, we want to go out from our houses, we want to take care of our decisions during the COVID, before the pandemics. And then that discourse shifted to a more like entrepreneurial discourse, having like good expression from the businessmen, of the state like kicking the businessmen to pay more and more taxes. So that's the other thing, taxes. Taxes is a huge part of Milei's discourse, not only in the campaign, it's mostly like his first message as a political commentator, you know? Milei used to say like, the state is a thief. The state is robbing us. The state is quitting, is taking a lot of our profits. So that's another thing. And if you join the points, you know, the criticism on the pandemics, the criticism on the operation, on the state during the pandemics, and then the taxing policy, a huge taxing policy from the former government of Alberto Fernández, you get like the perfect cocktail.
Populism seems very fashionable right now, internationally. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump comes to mind, Jair Bolsonaro comes to mind. Is Milei part of a political trend, or is he something different? What are the similarities and differences between Milei and these other, specifically Trump, but? Mm-hmm.
So what are the similarities within the new coalition, international coalition of Trump, Bolsonaro, maybe Milei? Well, they seem to be like some ideological similarities. They are all from the center to the right. They all seem to be very disruptive with the political scene. They all are very critics with the political system, with democracy, the politicians, the division of powers. They all offer redemption, with struggles, but redemption. What difference Milei from Trump or Bolsonaro? Milei is a completely outsider. He don't have the backup of a big political party like Trump, the Republican Party. He seems to be like more radical, you know, his bill, his omnibus bill, like, his the executive orders are far more radical than the reforms of Trump. We are going to see if the Congress likes this, but he's trying to go further and stronger in comparison with...
The media in the United States makes this comparison between Milei and Trump. Do you think it is a difference of just the intensity, the farther and stronger, or is it also a difference of type? Are there policy differences between them too?
You know, the policy, we have seen Milei 2 months of Milei government, so we don't have much idea.
Do you think what he ran on will not be what he governs with? A politician is going to do something different once they get into office? I don't believe that.
Maybe, yeah. It's pretty much obvious. I mean, what he could do here is like a huge labor reform, a tax reform. He's going to try all that. Fiscal reform, state reform. And when I say reform, is the change, you know, cutting all the expenditures. He's going to try all those things. We're going to see in the following months if he's able to do at least half of these reforms.
You're an expert in the political beliefs of Argentinian people. What are they, and how are they different from those of the United States? Or what would surprise American audiences?
We tend to think that Argentinian political beliefs were conducted by the political parties a couple of years ago, you know. It's Peronism or anti-Peronism. And then we have seen in the last years a rising of other beliefs, you know. It's a little more complex, like Peronism, anti-Peronism organized like the central view of Argentina, but it's a little more complex. And in our last study, we identify like liberals, conservative liberals, and state liberals and state conservatives. And what we saw in the last study in Argentina is a growing trend of liberals, or what we can see like libertarians through the lens of Milei. And then what we saw is public opinion demanding of a big role of the state on providing public order. That's a huge issue for Milei now, because we tend to see like political visions in terms of economics and in terms of the state having influence in my private life.
And democracy in Argentina, it's different than the two-party system in the United States. We have, without getting into the mechanics of very specific, how is Argentine democracy different than American democracy?
In Argentina, democracy crumbles from the inside. You know, we have flawed institutions, we have problems within the executive branch appropriating the state, going over the Congress. That's why we think one of the main problems of democratic breakdown or democratic erosion in Latin America, and especially in Argentina, is within the inside. It's when the executive branch thinks the state is his own, thinks he can overpass the Congress or even the judicial power. And that's one of the huge problems we are facing now with Argentina, with Milei. I think Milei is a society searching for new answers and is trying to find something new, going to the last product in the shell, and trying to do that, you know, in a huge economic crisis, a couple of years on stagflation. So yeah, Milei is all of those things. That's pretty big, that's volatile, and we're going to see in a couple of months if he gets to satisfy all this huge promise.
It sounds like you're sort of critical of Milei, or maybe more on the side, personally, of fear than hope for his presidency. Mm-hmm. But are there any bright spots?
Argentina has almost 45% of the population under the line of poverty. That's huge. So what I think is you have low margin to an experiment, you know? That's the danger here. With 45% of population under the line of poverty, with 20 to 30% of inflation month by month, the huge danger is what's going to happen with the 45% and the other ones, like the middle class, who's going to fall down the line.
Because the 45% relies on certain types of welfare that the state provides and that Milei threatens to take away?
Yeah, and fragile incomes, you know? Yeah. They are not like formal workers. They're informal workers, a lot of them. They go to work, but they don't have, like, the income is not good enough to have a good life. So the main danger here is economic discontent, social conflict, tension in the streets. What we could see, it would be great, this would be like slowing down the inflation, so a couple of months of economic recovery, maybe, some consensus on the main reforms. We need a labor reform, and we could expect, like, we could be positive of that kind of reforms. Maybe tax reform, maybe a more balanced budget on top of the state.
What were the primary drivers of Milei's support? Even if he only got that 30%, he still won the election. So what contributed to his success?
What contributed to Milei's success? In the first place, long-term discontent with the government, with the Alberto Fernández government. Second place, widespread demand for change in Argentina. And in the third place, disruption, you know? He represented a new political alternative for young people. He dialogued with the lower and middle class, frustrated by the lack of opportunities and the growing inequality. And he get to speak with the marginalized rural areas, you know, who tend to be marginalized by the classical political machinery. Yeah.
We're going to meet some of those lower middle class people in rural areas that supported Milei. What are we going to hear from them?
Social fatigue, anger. They are tired of politicians telling that 2 years ago, in 2 years we're going to be okay. In 2 years we're going to be okay. We have to struggle, but in 2 years we're going to be okay. You know, that's the classic in the campaigns. So you're going to see a lot of social fatigue, a lot of hate, anger, frustration, negative emotions. And Milei offers like a redemption plan. Argentina can rebuild from zero. We can erase La Casta. We can rebuild Argentina if we spend less money in politicians. We can rebuild Argentina even with a aesthetic and moral regeneration. And then what you could also see is a shift on the political values. What am I talking about? If you do, let's suppose in the 90s, if you run a big poll in the 90s, you could see like Argentina favor primary sector, like the private sector having a lot of issues in the economy. And we're very critics with the role of the state on providing public services or having public corporations. Even like regulating economic life.
Javier Milei's promise of shock therapy for the Argentine economy is both bold and also contentious. But the question remains, will Milei deliver the radical changes he has promised to Argentine voters? Argentina's move away from Peronism signals a significant transformation. As voters around the world consider the value of disruptive politics, we'll continue to keep our eye on Argentina as an instructive case study. Special thanks to our None of the Above team as well, Olivia Chilcote, Sarah Leeson, Eloise Cassier, and Lucas Robinson, who make this all possible. And with that, None of the Above is officially on hiatus for the summer. We'll be back in the fall with our next season, so if you aren't a subscriber now, please do subscribe. You can stay in touch with us in the meantime on X at the handle podcastnota, that's at podcastnota, as in None of the Above. Again, if you've enjoyed what you've heard, we'd appreciate you subscribing. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you find podcasts. Do rate and review us. If there's a topic you want us to cover, send us an email at info@noneoftheabovepodcast.org. Thanks for joining. Stay safe and see you next time.